Well,
okay, we've got the recording on. I'd like to welcome everybody to the January 16th regular meeting of our Board of Education. Can I have a roll call, please?
Mr. Luke?
Here.
Mr. Pleasant?
Here.
Ms. Powers?
Here.
Mr. Smith?
Here.
Ms. Devine?
Here. Thank you. Can we all rise for the Pledge of Allegiance? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. All right. Moving on to adoption of agenda. We need a motion to approve our agenda for the January 16th meeting.
So moved.
Mrs. Powers has moved. Do we have a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Pleasant. You need a roll call?
Yes.
Okay.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Pleasant?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Okay, motion carries. Now we move on to presentations. We have a presentation tonight from Raymond Elementary on their work on Common Core.
Yeah. Yes, welcome. We are so excited to have everyone come out to Raymond. Not a whole lot of people come out and visit, but we love it when they do. We know we've had a lot of the board members, Sue and Amy, you know, have already been out to visit, and I would like to extend that invitation to our new board members. Welcome in your new roles, and we would love to have you come out and visit any time, so please feel free. Can I have one of the girls just kind of... Thanks. Tonight, what we wanted to do, and there's our little welcome, was just to kind of highlight for you our work plans, Raymond's work plans for the 2013-2014 school year. In your folder, I actually gave you a copy of each of the work plans, and you also have a copy of the presentation. But basically, we were asked to kind of focus three goals around safety, continuous improvement, gap closing, and then also Common Core instruction and assessment. So tonight, we just kind of wanted to give you a highlight. You know, we're about halfway through the year. So just give you some highlights of where we are with each of those plans so that, you know, you can kind of have an update about what's going on at Raymond. The first one, safety, I'd like to talk about. The goal to maintain a safe school environment. Just wanted to give you a few highlights again for what we've been working on as far as our safety plan. We definitely had lots of new thinking this year around safety of our students and staff. One of the big things, the highlights, I think, of the year so far has been the ALICE training. I know you guys have heard a lot about that previously. So far, we've had training for staff, students, and in addition, we've also offered some additional training for our parents to come and learn more about the actual ALICE training itself. We've been trying to educate and inform our parents about this through newsletters and through our websites, but we also felt like, you know, seeing it in action was really the greatest way for them to get a feel for what this new thinking is all about. Also, in addition to that, implementation of our new safety procedures. We have actually had so many positive comments from parents. In addition to the ALICE training that we've implemented, having parents bring a photo ID when they come to the building, whether it's, you know, you're coming to volunteer, you're coming for a class party, they're asked to bring a photo ID. We hang on to those in the office, and then when they leave, you know, we get that back. In addition to that, we have the new camera systems in place, so no one gets into the building without being buzzed in first. This has really been, I think, one of the things, too, that the parents like the best. You know, we know who's coming into the building. We always had that vestibule where we could, you know, determine whether or not they were going to get into the rest of the building, but actually, you know, making that first step and determining whether or not we even want to let you in the building. But it's definitely, I think, made everybody feel, you know, safer and more comfortable when they're at Raymond. In addition to that, we had some great conversations with Union County Sheriff's Department. Kim Zacharias has kind of been our contact at Raymond. But in addition to that, Marysville Police Department, they've also come out, just sat down. We've had staff meetings around, talk to us about Raymond. You know, we've gone through this training. We understand kind of some of these new thinking, the new thinking that we're supposed to be doing. But, you know, let's make it real life at Raymond. So they've walked around the classrooms for us. Kim was actually here, Deputy Zacharias, and helped me with the crisis drill that we did, the lockdown. She's wonderful. And really, I think she praised a lot of what we were doing, but also offered some great suggestions and helped make, I know that our next drill that we do will be even better. The goal is to not only have, you know, we're required to have one of those drills once a year, but we would like to do those, you know, more often. At least, you know, every other month, if not, the goal would be to get those down, you know, every month, just like we do our fire drills, tornado drills, that type of thing. But again, they've just been a really great resource for us. And they're here, you know, they would come out, and I think, you know, any services they can provide, they would be happy to do that, which has been great. In addition to that, then, the next goal or the next work plan centers around continuous improvement. Of course, the goal will be to ensure strategies are effective and meet the needs of all students, including our targeted subgroups. When we received the report card from Raymond for the past year, we were really pleased overall with the grades that we received, A's and B's. However, we did have one C. when we looked at it, lowest are the C we received in closing the gap for our lowest 20% in achievement. When we dug a little deeper, we found out it was actually in reading. So the goal this year is to really focus in. We want to focus on all of the children, but to really zero in on those lowest 20% in reading and to see what we can do to raise that. If you'll remember, though, the C does mean that those children grew a year's worth. You know, we impacted their learning, and they grew a year's worth of learning. However, you know, knowing those children are kind of behind the eight ball and at risk, we definitely want to accelerate that learning and get them to where they're making more than a year's growth. So that would definitely be one of our goals. So how do we do this? Excuse me. Our first step was to get in and start to look at some data. This was Raymond's beginning of the year reading data. What we found out, when you kind of look across that, we're doing, and actually, these in kindergarten, first grade, second, and third, this data is taken from ODE's reading screener. So when we looked at the criteria that ODE outlined for us, this was kind of the result. So we have, in kindergarten, for example, 11% of our boys and girls are considered not on track to meet the end-of-the-year expectations. In first grade, 17%. Second, we have 6%. Third, fourth, 4%. And then in fourth grade, we jump up to 24%. Fourth grade, though, just to give you a little bit more detail on that, ODE doesn't have a reading screener for fourth grade, so that data is actually taken from our district assessments that we do, and we give each child in Marysville kind of a reading inventory, a reading assessment to see how they're doing. It just kind of gives us that baseline data so that we know, you know, at the end of the year then how far they've grown. So fourth grade's data is actually based on district expectations. I will tell you, if we would go back, and we did do this, but if we go back and plug in Marysville expectations, these numbers for not on track actually pop up a little bit, because our expectations are currently higher than where what we found as far as ODE screening. But it looks nicer on the OT. So in addition to that, We also wanted to take a look, and I'll just show you just a real quick slide, other ways that we're tracking reading data, you know, looking at it in terms of, you know, one particular classroom, comparing, you know, where they were, their OAA scores, with that beginning of the year BAS assessment, you know, where they are in December. We'll keep tracking that. Sometimes it just kind of helps to get that overall picture, even when we're zeroing in on, you know, my lowest 20%. In addition to that, TestingWorks helps us. That's the district's database that we can go in and input our test data. So we can go in, and I just kind of highlighted names. But in this particular one, I just kind of compared, you know, BAS with that Ohio reading, the Ohio Achievement Assessment. And we did find out that really our district expectations with the BAS does align with how kids are performing on the OAAs. But again, getting teachers to get in and kind of make, you know, take a look at some of this data, you know, not just from a building level, but then looking at it as a grade level, and then now I'm going to take that and look at it, you know, in terms of my classroom, and what does this mean? So, again, some of those ways that we're looking at this data focused around our lowest 20%, data meetings with the superintendent. We have, the principals have been asked to come in and meet with Diane monthly to talk about data. What are you doing? You know, who, first and foremost, have you identified who you need to be, you know, looking at? And then what are some interventions? What are you doing to help, you know, get those children where they need to be? In addition to that, building leadership team, we also analyze for trends. Again, grade level team meetings. Those would include the grade level, plus coaches, myself. We also have progress monitoring meetings with that grade level team. And this one's a little different than the just the grade level team meetings, because when we meet with these progress monitoring, we are really digging in, and we have extra support personnel there. For example, the psychologist sits in on those meetings. The guidance counselor sits in. The reading specialist. Because a lot of times, you know, you can make those plans and start to think about what you want to do, but then, okay, well, now we've got to go ask the guidance counselor, can she make that phone call and, you know, check on that family for us? So really, having everybody at the table, it just saves time, number one, and it just gives everybody, I think, that insight into, number one, who are our most at risk, and then what are we going to do, you know, to help support them. I'll be honest, sometimes, you know, it's an academic issue, but then we also have those children who, you know, we have one little one who, you know, is in the midst of a sleep study. Others who are, you know, on medication, and we're trying to get that medication balanced and make it at a therapeutic level. So there are a lot of things, you know, sometimes that we need to discuss about, you know, each individual kid. But I think that's the power of this. So, anyway, just a brief outline of how we go about looking at our data. So, you know, bottom line, how does this translate then to teaching and learning? we need to ensure that we're using effective instructional practices that meet the needs of all of our students. We kind of think about this in tiers. First, the classroom would be considered that tier one instruction. This particular level meets the needs of 80 to 85% of our kids. We do a pretty good job of instructing the majority of our kids within the regular classroom without any extra support system. However, there are those children, and again, thinking about that lowest 20%, that might need some extra support. We might talk to the reading specialist. We might also pull in the services of our intervention specialists, our special ed teachers. Even though that particular child might not be on an IEP, they can also offer some great suggestions, or sometimes we can kind of plug a student in who might need some extra support with phonics. Our intervention specialists are trained in Norton-Gillingham, which our regular ed teachers, the majority of them are not. So just getting those kids the right, you know, type of instruction. Again, they need this classroom instruction, but again, they might need something in addition, a little more intense, in order to help them close that gap. And then, you know, there are some of our children then that also then qualify for that special education. But we want to go through these different tiers and make sure, because a lot of our kids really do excel with, you know, the reading specialists, with reading recovery and LLI and some of the support systems that we have in place. And we would much rather do that, you know, before we have to get to that most intense level of, you know, maybe giving them, the special education services. Okay, so what we also wanted to talk about, the final plan of the work plan then again, is strengthening that classroom instruction. We are very fortunate to have instructional coaches to help support my work as the instructional leader in the building. I feel very comfortable being that instructional leader in the building. However, I think being recently out of the classroom definitely helps in that role. And I was a former coach, so I think, again, I'm very comfortable in that role. However, putting three of our heads together and helping come up with a plan for staff development. And, again, we're not only looking at student achievement, but then we're looking at our teachers in terms of their needs. You know, where are they in their learning, and how can we support them so that they can best support our children? Beth Ann Morey is our literacy coach. She's been in this role for quite a few years, and I should have asked Beth, I'm so sorry, how long? I don't know, 7 years. So 7 years, yeah, and as the literacy coach at Raymond. Does a great job. This year, for the first time, we've also added math instructional coaches. And I can tell you, it's something that our teachers have been kind of begging for a long time. You give us all the support with literacy, but what about math? So this year, Diane helped us and gave us, I guess, is that the right? I don't know. We worked it out so that we could have math coaches in each of the buildings. So Beth Lambert is former first grade teacher at Mill Valley. This is her first year as a math coach. So she's in her first year of training through Ohio State. And Beth Ann also went through Ohio State through Literacy Collaborative Training. So anyway, they're going to help me go ahead and talk with you about their roles and how they're supporting classroom, how they're supporting teachers in the classrooms, again, in order to meet the needs of those lowest 20% as well as all of our kids. So, as you guys go.
Sure. Yeah. One of the main things, as an instructional coach, one of the main things I think about is we have great teachers. They're wonderful. They have a lot of great practices in place already. And it's great to be able to take those great teachers and move them even further. And that's the first bulleted point that we put up there, is that growth mindset, that no matter how great you are, you can always be greater. And no matter how well you think you're doing your job, that you're always reflecting upon that and trying to improve yourself even more. That's what we're here for, is to help teachers with that. It's job-embedded professional development. We're actually in the classrooms, we're in the trenches, we're in the buildings. I serve here at Raymond with teachers and also at Mill Valley. Follow the OSU Math Coach Program, follow their structure, their framework. And that framework calls for me to typically work with a teacher for about a six-week period. And then typically I'm working with about three or four teachers at a time for a six-week period. And the number of teachers in each building can vary. And sometimes I might work with two teachers out here, two at Mill Valley. Sometimes, you know, it varies going forward, that kind of thing. But about 6 weeks is how long I stay with the teacher. Within that time frame, however, I'm also doing some planning with other teachers and other responsibilities and professional development with more than just those career for teachers I'm with. I met with a first grade team after school today, and we were doing some planning together. And one of those teachers, it's kind of cool, it's actually a team of Mill Valley and Raymond teachers that got together after school to do some planning. And I'm actually in one of those, or no, two of those first grade classrooms. Mm-hmm.
this time that I'm able to meet with five teachers and do planning and reflection.
But I have to tell you, there was an awful lot of giggling coming from that room. So I'm not really sure how much planning that. No.
Oh, yeah.
But I was glad they were having a good time.
And you know, that's just an example too of the wonderful teachers we have, because they drove out here in this weather on a Thursday night, and we met after school. So, and that was the, you know, they're clamoring for that. They're like, can you come? Can you meet with us? Can we talk? So. So that's basically the basic framework of the math program. I'll let you talk about framework and literacy.
I'm a literacy coach. I'm also working with teachers in grade levels. It's a little different in that with Beth being in her training, I think the math program does a little more co-teaching, whereas I'm kind of going in and asking teachers, where are you at in your learning? What are you working on? And Beth, you do that as well, but it's more of a co-teaching experience, whereas I tend to feel like I'm researching things and trying to support teachers where they're at and how best they can support that reader or writer in their classroom. So it's a little different shift, and I know we've talked a lot, and we as a coaching team work together a lot to discuss how can we support each other and also get better at what we're doing together as a team. And I just think those reflective conversations, I mean, we had several today even just in passing about, hey, this happened, or I saw this student, have you ever seen this? And, you know, what's the best way to go about this? And what worked for you with this teacher? So those types of things, but also looking at, too, getting teachers to ask questions and reflect is really where that conversation comes into play.
So the other one of the other things in our work plan is to provide support through professional development opportunities. Like I even said before, and I'm glad you mentioned the co-teaching. As I get in the trenches, we're co-teaching. We're working with that set of teachers, but we're also working on professional development with whole staff. That could be at staff meetings. Staff meetings here at Raymond this year have covered things like just support with OTES, looking at that OTES, the teacher evaluation rubric, just a little closer, thinking about how can I support you as a coach? How can I support you to look at those different parts of that rubric and make sure you're doing those best and most effective practices? And just kind of picking it apart and what do those areas mean? And then, of course, Ohio's new learning standards, Common Core standards. We've had a major focus on that. Full implementation of Common Core state standards this year. So just really making sure we're supporting teachers at staff meetings on digging deeper into those standards. We did a staff meeting on CARF assessments, the new Ohio assessments. Just looking at those and how those assessments are different than what we've given in the past. That idea of online performance tasks and just how assessments may be changing. We've spent a little bit of exploratory time with those in a staff meeting, and that's one area where we're going to get even deeper into as the year goes by to be ready for those new tests in 2015-16. Other things like your waiver days and primetime days and in-service days. This last one we offered workshops on the waiver day where teachers could sign up to come to different workshops based on their choice. And the types of math workshops that we offered had to do with Common Core, math fact strategies, number sense types of activities, rich mathematical problems or tasks. So we were able, myself, Mary Davis, Ryan Fairman, the math coaches, were able to offer some math courses or math workshops during that waiver day to help support all teachers throughout the district.
And just building off of what she's talking about, in reading, we have the same type of things happening with different workshops, in a sense, on close reading, nonfiction reading, and just getting into that language arts Common Core. And I know the Common Core shift has been something that we continue to work toward. And what I mean by that shift is, in the past, I think teachers felt that they were delivering information to students, and now we are asking teachers to kind of step back and be the guide and look at where our students at and helping them develop their thinking ability and their reasoning and synthesizing and critiquing all those higher level thinking things that we're asking kids to do. It's not our job to say this is how you should do it. It's their job to kind of discover and learn that on their own as we guide them through that. That is a huge shift in how we have taught in the past, and it's something that we're all working on and toward.
And then the last is just that we also share articles and professional books and resources from our training. So an important key to good classroom instruction is using formative assessment, using assessment tools in place. And I know Carol shared some assessments from the building-wide, looking at some data on testing works. And those give you, they give you some data you can work with, they give you numbers. In our position, we want to dig into the classroom and look at how does formative assessment within the classroom inform instruction daily. Okay, what are we using that's helping us to make sure we're meeting the kids of the needs of those students? So we work with teachers to use that data to plan instruction. And we do that right in their classrooms with them, looking at their data. It could be running records from reading, looking at reading. For math, it could be a quick check that you did that day to see what you're going to do, you know, how you're going to support those kids tomorrow in your math classroom. So just reflecting upon where students are and how we can help them grow so that they can meet their targets. Thinking about both that intervention and that enrichment piece. If they're not growing, why not? What are we going to do for them? And if they already know it and they're doing well with it, what can we do to stretch them? And that's just a quick example of something a teacher might do. You're not just taking a score on the test. We want to think about really what are those skills the students can do. And this is just a quick example of one that a first grade teacher is using. It has the learning standard over here. It has some I can statements here, like I can solve word problems by taking from. Okay, I can solve word problems by taking apart. So looking at what are they doing when they're solving word problems. And then this teacher, this is a very informal type of assessment, like an assessment PSAP. It's not something that you're going to see mandated that all teachers across the district have to be using this. It's just this tool that this teacher is using. So she's marked down who's beginning at this skill, who's secure at this skill, who's developing at this skill. And then she can look at that as she's planning instruction and say, what am I going to do to meet those needs of those children who are just beginning? And if she uses it as a pre-assessment, she could say, hey, if you're already, I think this was a post-assessment, but she could say, okay, if they're already secure at it, what can I do to stretch them? So just meeting those individual learning needs that we have in our classrooms. And then another goal in our work plan is to encourage teaching and learning that has students sharing and justifying their thinking, providing evidence to support their thinking, and critiquing the thinking of others. These are the mathematical practices from the Common Core. These are what we want kids to be doing when they're doing math. We really, really need that problem, that problem-solving piece. And when they justify and share their thinking, then it just solidifies that thinking and then helps the thinking of others. And this is really a key part of what I do when I go into a math classroom instructionally for that instructional piece is how can we get kids to really be problem solvers and have a deep understanding of mathematics. And then, oh, this gets to be the fun. This is the fun piece.
So what does it look like in the classroom?
This is the classroom implementation piece. So with this, we have some videos.
Sorry.
Well, hopefully it works, right?
Well, and you know what? Oh, there it is. I couldn't get the mouse to show.
Okay. These videos are from, I can see whose classroom, right? That's it,
yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. From third grade here, Raymond and Mrs. Thrush. And what the kids are doing is they are so great in her classroom about sharing their thinking, doing that justification piece, and proving that they're mapping, you know, how they figured out a problem and proving that it worked and figuring out the problem a different way and looking for looking at those mathematical strategies that they're using. And she had her kids do a videotape of some different strategies they might use when doing subtraction problems. This was kind of a culminating activity after the unit. Mm-hmm. Throughout the whole unit on subtraction, they would be posed problems like this one here, 555 take away 469. And they would be asked to solve that problem. But I'm not going to tell you how to solve it at the onset. I'm going to have you solve it. How are you going to solve this problem? It could be within a word problem and you know, different things, but the basic idea is that they could apply strategies they already had to do that subtraction without the teacher having to explicitly teach it at the onset. And then you could take that learning, what they're able to do, and build on it, and build on where they are to get them to where eventually you want to use it. They're using efficient strategies, and this last one is the standard algorithm. So there's lots of different strategies
that you can use other than the standard algorithm that will help build that deeper mathematical understanding before you get to that.
Mm-hmm.
That all makes sense.
Yeah. So, okay. And another reason that she did this was because she was getting a lot of questions from parents. You know, why aren't you just teaching my child to subtract? You know, using the algorithm. And very well, you know, one parent's wanting to help, but yet they were saying, I'm not really understanding why you're having them do it, you know, these different ways. So we were trying to help parents understand, you know, granted, you know, you and I, especially, you know, I was just told this is the way you do it. You plug and chug and don't ask why it works, you know. But we really wanted parents to understand we're teaching kids, you know, the thinking behind it, the number sense behind it. So this was another way, again, to help our parents kind of see, and the kids. The kids loved it, you know, getting to do these tutorials for their classmates. But, you know, it served dual purpose there.
Did you, Beth, which one did you want to say?
I didn't pick a... let's do the place study.
That's what I was.
Let's do the. That would be the very. When kids are first learning about subtraction and first exploring subtraction, they really do need those concrete models to make sure that subtraction makes sense. Before they move on to, I think we have like a pictorial, and then it moves on to, I think, I don't know what this one is, but it's a subtitle place value strategy problem. That wasn't the standard algorithm. But, sorry. No, you're fine. Go ahead.
Hi, I'm Emerson, Kristen, James, and we are going to do a subtraction problem. 485 minus 198. First, we're going to start with the 1, which we can't take away 8 from 5. So we take away the 10, put that in the toy box, add 10 ones. Now we can take away 8. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Now let's see how many we have. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 7
ones. Now we're going to move on to the 10 because we can't take 9 away from 7. So I'm going to take away 100 and trade it for 10 tens. But now we can take away 9 tens. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Now let's see how much we have. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 8
turns. Now we can take 100 away from 300, so we can do that. And now we have 287. And that's how it's done.
Okay, so
Emerson,
now you know.
I wish I had those kids teaching me math.
No doubt. I agree. Oh, I gotta get this back up. So sorry. Okay. Well, do you want to see one more? Are we done? One more? Okay. Oh, I gotta figure out how to go back. Jeff, if you go, just go back to the. Yeah. Hi. Do you want to see the standard algorithm, Beth? Or that one's the.
How about the one before the standard algorithm?
Okay.
The one where it's numeric.
But we loved them all, so it's so hard to choose.
And I honestly didn't remember what I did here.
We will be doing math problems. Here is an example of a word math problem. Mr. T has 188 students. 79 in recess. How many are playing at recess?
Mr. T really doesn't have 188 third graders. Just so you know, our class sizes aren't that large.
The jumping method, because adding is usually more easier than most people. So we're going to add 1 to that. That'll give us 80. And then we're going to add 100, and that will get us 180. And then we're going to add 8, and that will give us 188. So now we have to add 108 and 1 together. So first, let's start with the 81. So that will be 9. then let's do 109. And that will equal 109. And that's how you can math word problems.
That's how it's done. Yeah, there you go. Like I said, they had a great time putting together those videos. Again, please feel free, to come visit our school if you want to see it in action. And if you guys have any questions, we'd be happy to try to answer them.
Thank you.
Any questions?
I just had a question about the safety part.
Sure.
Did you find the Alice satisfactory?
Oh, absolutely. I'll have to say, as a former kindergarten teacher, I was a little hesitant at first, thinking about my little kindergarten babies, and I'm going to have them barricading or throwing. But when you go through the training and you're actually sitting there waiting for, who knows what, it definitely, I guess it just put it into perspective. It's like I would rather them fight, or not fight per se, but if they have to throw a book at someone, or if they have to, we're going to break out the window, and we're fortunate, we're ground level, and I'm going to send them out the window, and they're going to be safe. So it really did, it changed my thinking, and I think when all the staff went through that as well, it was definitely a shift. Very much the teachers have embraced it. As soon as we started our crisis drill, you could just hear the desks, and they actually moved desks and they moved tables, and in the classrooms that were closest to where the intruder was. And we did it as an elementary school, you still have to be mindful about how you present that to kids, because we don't want to put undue fear, in their lives. And I'll be honest, it angers me that we even have to do this. However, it's my responsibility and our responsibility to make sure they're safe when they're here. And we want to do everything we can, to do that. So they did. I mean, they told me later, and after the intruder kind of went through and got to the other side of the building, the first grade classrooms ended up evacuating. And at my clinic aide was in the office, and she said, "You couldn't have heard a peep." She said they booked it out of here, and they were out of those classrooms, But when they came back, they said, "We got away," And I just thought, oh, bless their little hearts. And again, it just, it angers me that we have to do it, but we've got to make sure that they're safe. So yeah, absolutely. I wish that we had had more parents attend. For the K-6 meeting, we had about 20, and we would really, I think it would be very beneficial to offer that again, maybe do a little more, publicizing. We put it in newsletters, but I think if we could get some testimonials from parents who actually went through it, they raved about, being able to actually go through it. They thought we were just going to hand them a pamphlet and talk to them. So, definitely great response. I haven't had one negative complaint at Raymond about that. And I was a little nervous, because it's something new. It's, a little different. And, the parents, I think because we did, in my mind, a pretty good job of, letting them know that it was coming, sending home information prior, to actually starting some of our practice drills and that kind of thing, I think that helped in addition to that. So
you mentioned that you were concerned about the kids. Did any of them seem like more afraid after the training, or?
No, not really. What helped? Kim Zacharias actually went around to each classroom and talked to the boys and girls, and she just praised them how well they did. And you were making sure that you were going to be safe if somebody actually did come in, right? My little ones were more interested in, "You've got a gun." They saw, because she was in uniform, and she said, "But that's okay, I'm supposed to." She said, and she talked to him, "It's in my holster, and I'm here to help you, make sure that you're safe. So if you see, if anything, and you see a police officer, you can go to that person." And, they really weren't. Talked to parents, it was right before the Thanksgiving break when we did it.
So hopefully, you know, they had kind of a few days in there to, and sometimes with kids, it's, you know, it might take them a couple days, and then they'll kind of bring something up 3 or 4 days later. But I haven't had any, you know, complaints or concerns from parents. And the teachers, you know, they said the kids handled it great. And the kids, even at lunch, did you see what we did? It's like, yeah, your class, you had your desks. I couldn't even get in, could I? So they were, I think they were proud of themselves. So, yeah.
My daughter attends here, and she came home and told us that she goes, she felt empowered almost because she was like, we don't hide anymore. We get to fight back or defend ourselves is what she kept telling me. So she, because I asked her, well, how did you feel about it? You know, were you worried or anything? And she goes, I just have to listen to my teacher. They'll make sure I'm safe. She felt, like I said, empowered.
Mm-hmm. I think that also empowers them outside of the schools, too. Mm-hmm. You know, when you have cases where they're approached or, you know, on the street or something, you know, that kind of thing is going to go through their mind that they have that empowerment not, for, you know, to be grabbed up and messed up.
I think that's the number one takeaway that I heard from staff and the administrators who went through the training is, if nothing else, it made me, it prepared me to be more aware of my surroundings no matter where I am. Whether I'm at the movie theater or at the mall, I'm more aware of what's around me and what are my choices. That's really what it's about is now we have choices. So. Carolyn, team, you did a fantastic job.
You did. Thank you so much. I did just want to say that you know, when you talk about empowering, I kind of tie that into the instructional part, too, because I think when we went into the classrooms, the kids are empowered now. The students, I mean, they are more running the show, and you see them in their own little groups and talking amongst each other. And it's very different than what it used to be, and they really seem to enjoy it.
Come over here to see this.
I know they're excited to share. They're excited to share what they know. Yeah. Great job. Great job.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Okay, moving on to the superintendent's report.
All right. First of all, this month is School Board Recognition Month, so it's my pleasure to honor each of you with a certificate, thanking you for your exemplary leadership and service. Some of you might say, well, that's kind of funny. It's been 16 days, but we still want to make sure that we honor and appreciate because the hard work is on our horizon. So I'll come around here. Sue, thank you.
Thank you, Mrs. Mankins.
Let's see. You're probably not in order. Mr. Pleasant.
Thank you.
Thank you. Should be more like getting your diploma, shouldn't I?
Thank you.
Mr. Luke.
Thank you.
There you go. Thank you. Thank you. Going in. You're welcome. All right. Actually, I'll start where Carol kind of left off, talking about safety, and she alluded to this. We had our first bigger safety committee with first responders, community partners, principals to kind of look at our crisis plan, revamp our crisis plans. Very successful. That'll be ongoing. So that took place over winter break as a first step, and we're still shooting for April as a time frame for our crisis plans to be complete. Obviously, we won't be sharing crisis plans in public meetings because we can't share all the elements of our safety plan, but they'll be completed and updated and ready to go. So a lot of work is going in there. Thanks to Mike and his team for taking the lead on that. They're doing a fantastic job. I am meeting next week with the mayor and Eric from Chamber to finalize the plans for our proposal for a student exchange program with Yori. Their mayor requested a itinerary or what students might be doing if he could send them in August. So his budget is due in January, the mayor from Yori. So at the end of this, I guess it's actually due in March. He wants the proposal now. He'll be working with his chamber to approve that, And hopefully we'll be having our first group of visitors in August, student exchange, so that's exciting.
How many, you know, were they thinking about?
I don't know how many students. It was going to depend on length of time and some of those elements. He was trying to decide how much money he was going to set aside for that. So we should get a better feel after we've submitted some of our ideas. So we've worked with, Ohio State helped us. They run a couple foreign Japanese exchange programs for others, University of Findlay. So we've had conversations with both of them, and they've helped us kind of develop our itinerary. So, and I think the last thing, give you a quick update on our grant, the Straight A Fund grant. Yesterday I had the opportunity to be a part of the Columbus Metropolitan Club. They had a panel discussion on the Straight A Fund. Three recipients were on the panel with Dr. Ross, the Superintendent for Public Instruction for Ohio, and he facilitated the meeting, and we were able to share elements of our grant and kind of tell our story. It was a fantastic day. We had great response. As a matter of fact, I left with the card of a man who wants to start a business in Union County and is interested in partnering with us. So it was a great opportunity to share our story, and so pretty exciting. We have had now probably four curriculum meetings. We had one today with Columbus State, so we're working on developing our pathways. So what are the courses exactly, grades 9 through 12, that kids in the manufacturing and IT pathway are going to take, and how are we going to have an articulation agreement with Columbus State? And then also they have a 2+2 program with Ohio State in Miami. So if students graduated with their associate's degree from us, they'd receive acceptance into those institutions to finish out their bachelor's degree, depending on the program that they would go through. So we have preliminary work on that. We had a construction meeting today. So we're a little behind in the construction realm, but we'll catch up, they promised. So we're pushing forward with that. The asbestos removal will start next week. So the building will pretty much be shut down with the exception with the Y. So that area will be all taped off and quarantined off from the rest. So that will be underway. We have a meeting with the architect next week, and hopefully see some plans that are just about final. So I'm trying to make ground that way. So we are moving forward. We had an equipment meeting as well. So some of the equipment that will be in the robotics area has almost a 6-month lead time. So we're getting that organized and on order and prepared to be put in place as well. So we'll continue to update you as well. And then starting next month, we will have a rep from Rusilli's come and give you a construction update each time. And Kathy McKinnis will be coming and giving you a curriculum update at each meeting from here on out.
Great.
Okay. And that is all I have for this evening. Certainly, I would be remiss if I did not send our heartfelt messages out to school in New Mexico who had a shooting this week. I think, you know, it does upset me, too, that we even have to have that conversation. But moments like that remind you that you know, we need to prepare the best we can, and so we definitely want to send our thoughts and prayers to those families and that community impacted as well.
Okay, Treasurer's report.
Not a lot of items and the action items, but I did want to bring up, and not to steal any thunder from the Finance Committee report, just mention a couple of things we talked about in there. From my perspective, three of the significant projects that we'll be working on in the coming months. First off, looking at creating a long-range PI, permanent improvements forecast. One of the issues that came up, and I, you know, talked to a lot of people about and came up in the interviews, were the issues we have with debt, having to subsidize some of our debt with our PI funds, and just the money that's needed for the different PI improvements. So want to create a long range forecast. So you know, not so we don't just say, well, there's not enough money. We want to be able to have detail of what are the things that need to be done. Looking at here's the revenue that we've got, and just you know, getting a better handle on the PI fund. We're going to be developing the fiscal year 15 district budget. Want to try to take a collaborative approach with that. Going to be meeting with each of the principals, the department heads, finding out what their likes and dislikes were with the budget process that they've gone through in the past, and just finding out, you know, what needs are out there. You know, there's always more needs than money, but just trying to get an idea from each building, each department. What are they looking at? What are the things they haven't been able to do? Those kinds of things. And finally, once that budget is completed, that'll roll directly into the May 5-year forecast. And so we'll be working on that as well. And as Diane mentioned, we did have a meeting today about the equipment that we're going to be purchasing with the Straight A Fund. So you will start seeing some money expenditures start flowing through that fund. Our meeting today was to discuss how that's going to work. It's going to be some pretty big dollar expenditures coming. We've got to some of that equipment takes a while. Some of there's the actual has to be built, has to be ordered. So we just want to make sure that we're crossing our T's and dotting our I's and getting everything right with those expenditures.
Is that, are you working, does Honda help you out with that, or, you know, with the equipment? I mean, because this is stuff that we probably have never dealt with before, so I just didn't know
if
there's...
They have some input on the type of equipment that we're going to be purchasing, so that, you know, when we're teaching our students to work on this type of equipment, we want it to be the equipment that would translate to the type of equipment Honda would be using.
Okay. What about vendors and stuff? Are they doing any, I mean, are they recommending some of those things?
So we're working with John Burkhart, who is well known in the career tech fields, also does work with curriculum and helping industry and the equipment manufacturers and schools build curriculum and industry credentials and those kind of things. Okay. So John has taken the lead in helping us put that together. He's actually gone to Honda, met with Scott, gone through the training facility. We've actually made some changes that we were originally going to order based on their new training facility. So, in essence, our equipment will be the exact same as Honda.
Good. That's all for me.
That's it. Okay. For the High Point report, I'm happy to say we will be voting on a resolution later on, but I did get a name. Eric Phillips has been very helpful in trying to help us find a rep for to Ohio High Point, and we have a name. Somebody from Honda is going to do that, Kevin Decco. He's the manager of the talent management unit. He's lived in Marysville for quite a while, I think for as long as I've been here. He had two children that both graduated from Marysville High School back right around, I think, 07, 08, somewhere in there. So we're very excited to have that up on our agenda later on. And so he will be attending the High Point meetings. He'll report back to the board, and we'll work out those details now that we finally have a name. And do we have a date for the all boards banquet yet? I know at the last meeting, I think Jeff had said the 4th or 5th of February.
Yes, if you can hold on, I will look it up on my, I think it is the 5th for some reason, but let me tell you for sure.
Yeah, well, she's looking.
It is the 5th at 6 o'clock.
Okay, February 5th at 6 o'clock is the High Point All Boards Banquet, and I went last year, and it's a nice evening. They serve a dinner. They have a guest speaker or two, and you're able to tour the facility, and usually they have students walking you around and explaining the programs. It's very impressive, so I'm sure we'll get, because I haven't seen an actual invitation.
We get a more
invitation.
Formal invitation in which you'll RSVP. We'll take care of sending that forward if you'll let Donna know if you're interested in attending.
Yep. Okay. Legislative report. Mr. Smith?
I've been in the process of educating myself on what's going on in the state legislature. And knowing that most bills don't get passed, trying to watch and see which ones may be of interest. There is one bill that I mentioned two. Senate Bill 229 that would modify some of the requirements in terms of the teacher evaluation, and what I understand is it would provide more flexibility to the district in terms of how that's done. And the other, there's actually two bills, one in the House and one in the Senate, that deal with essentially the same thing, and it's the expulsion of students. Students are disruptive. There's some concern about what schools can be able to do to ensure that they deal appropriately with that disruptive student, but at the same time are protecting and dealing effectively with other students. So those things are down the road. Additionally, I have contacted Representative Landa, and I'm going to meet with her at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning. And I will meet at 4 o'clock tomorrow afternoon with Senator Dobbs. Senator Burke. And I just wanted to introduce myself in this capacity and to encourage them to focus at least some attention on their stuff and make sure that they are working for the interests of our students in this district. If you've got comments or questions or whatever, if you can send those to me, I'll be sure to ask.
Great.
They've both been very supportive, I can tell you, in the time I've been here.
Mm-hmm. Great, thank you. Okay, Finance Committee, we'll report on that. Mr. Smith and I attended the Finance Committee meeting. We held it on January 13th, and that meeting introduced our new treasurer, Todd, and then Todd and Diane gave us a nice update on the straight A fund and just answered a lot of questions about what that's going to look like for our district. And like Todd said, he told him how the plans to focus on the PI bonds and the budget and the five-year forecast. And then we talked a little bit about the purpose of the Finance Committee and agreed that we wanted to focus on, kind of reviewing that five-year forecast. And then as special projects came up that, after we've had a chance to discuss a little bit more as a board, if there's anything specific that we would want them to focus on, then we'll move forward with that. But in the meantime, just kind of stay focused on the five-year forecast. And we realize that now that we don't have any levies in the near future and other things like that, that we don't really need to meet every month. So our next meeting is currently scheduled for April 7th at 6 p.m. Talked a little bit about trying to update our website for the Finance Committee so that it's more current and that it has the meeting dates on there. And that's pretty much what we talked about. Thank you. That covered? Okay. All right. Public participation, I don't believe there was any, but give everyone a second chance. No? All right. And let's see. Move on to item 7, 7.1. We need a motion to approve the minutes from our December 19th regular meeting and our January 6th organizational meeting. Mrs. Powers moved. Do we have a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Smith. Any discussion? Okay. Roll call, please.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Mr. Pleasant?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. And now moving on to item 8.1, need a motion to approve Kevin Deco, Honda Talent Management, as our member to Ohio High Point Career Center.
So moved.
Mr. Pleasant moved. Second by Mr. Smith. Any discussion? I would just like to thank Mr. Dutch. Oh, yes, yes, we're very excited. I think he's going to be a great representative for us, so I'm really looking forward to that. Okay, we have a roll call, please.
Mr. Pleasant?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. And now, item 9.1, we need a motion to approve all the Treasurer CFO action items. I'll motion.
Second.
Second by Ms. Powers. Any discussion on that, Todd, or any? We'll start with you.
I sent out an update. I didn't receive any questions, so if there's any questions now, I'd be happy to.
Maybe you just want to talk about those two invoices. That's really the only, all the normal items are
kind
in
of
there.
Out of the ordinary with those two invoices, and just by Ohio law, you need to have a purchase order in place prior to the date that's on the invoice to show that the funds were encumbered prior to actually making the purchase or incurring the liability. Had a couple kind of slip through the cracks there, so we're allowed to have the board approve these items that are over $3,000. The board can approve them, kind of what they call a then and now. So just kind of keeps us in line and keeps us out of trouble with the auditors.
All right. No questions. Roll call, please.
Ms. Devine?
Yes.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Mr. Pleasant?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
All right. Motion carries. Now moving on to items 10.1 through 10.3, the superintendent items. We need a motion to approve those.
So moved.
Moved by Mrs. Powers.
Second.
Second by Mr. Smith. Okay. Any discussion on these items?
And this is just 1 through 3?
Well, I get 1 through 4. I guess I could say 10 through 10.4, but 10.4 is just the motion, so I'll say 10.1 through 10.4.
Okay.
Why not? Okay, so yeah, any discussion on this? Looks like.
You'll see that Mike Robertson switched with Liz. I don't even want to mess up having
Hannah hair or something.
You're right. The creepy, fantastic teacher in Creekview, but we call her Miss H because I don't want to mess up the last name.
Right.
And that switch that we talked about last meeting a little bit. Also, certainly want to wish Terry Dunlap well, who is retiring in February.
How long has she been in the district? Do you know?
I did not look that
okay,
one up.
No, because I recognize, I can't remember if my kids ever had her or not, but yeah.
Right. Other than that, we have a tuition-based student who's been enrolled in the district for some time, and we approved last year. So, unless there's other questions that you have for me,
okay.
No
question.
I'm sorry, I couldn't. There was one thing on here I didn't follow. It says contingent upon verification of teaching experience and education. Who does that apply to?
Is that on item
10.1? Resources book. Yeah, the one.
Yes, right. I think that's just standard language on there.
For substitute and home instructors.
Okay. Oh, okay. Okay. All right. Roll call, please.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Mr. Pleasant?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Okay, motion carries. We move down to 11.1. Any comments or questions from board members? So we usually start down there at the end, Mr. Smith. You get to go first.
I have to say that the presentation tonight was wonderful. And I really enjoyed it. It absolutely amazes me what happens in classrooms and how creative teachers are in finding ways to reach every child. It's a difficult challenge, and like anything, you're going to have successes and you're going to have some challenges, but it appears as if we're on the road to a lot more successes. So thank you very much.
And I will ditto that, and also to tell you how much that you guys are appreciated, because we see lots of great things that we're going to be able to be a part of, and that's exciting. I mean, the second thing that you put up there, where those kids work backwards. Mm-hmm. I'd have to watch that a few times to get that all myself. You know, after I told Dick, I said, that's amazing. You know, I mean, it's just like I'm trying to follow through where they're each one taken away there and kind of do it in the back way. So that's really unique. So thank you, and thanks for your presentation.
Thank you for having us here. I was very excited to be here tonight. I have two stepchildren who went through K through fourth grade here, and there were many tears shed when they got clapped out, mostly by their mom. This is a very special place, and it was great for me to be here and get a little taste of that from this point of view. I also really appreciate some of the things you guys are doing with instruction and critical thinking and so on. I also wanted to mention that Dick and I are going to get some training this weekend, so we're excited about that.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Well, I think they've covered it very nicely. Thank you.
Okay. I always have my little note list of notes. Well, no, go ahead. We'll go ahead to you, and I'll wrap it up. Todd, go ahead. Todd, do you have any comments or? Okay.
The only thing I would add is we have organized, so your initial board training is this weekend, and then starting at 5:45 for the next 2 months, we're going to have work sessions with Bill Reimer, kind of talking about our governance team and governance structure and setting goals and revisiting our commitments and making sure they work for this group or any changes or modifications. So it'll be a little bit earlier start for us, as long as that works for everybody, but he will be here in February and March as kind of a follow-up to your opening training.
5:45?
Yes.
And we're all going to attend that, right?
It'll be all of us.
Okay.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, good.
That's the next 2 months?
Next 2 months.
Yes. Those were the first two items on my list. So I wanted to thank you three for signing up for that new Board Member Academy. I think you'll find that really helpful. And I think Kathy Lasota of OSBA is supposed to be touching base with you, because I let her know you guys were going to be there, and she said she'd try and look you up. I think she's a real valuable resource, and she helps represent our district. So if you ever have questions, you can call Kathy, and she can either answer them or point you in the right direction for another answer. And then I also wanted to mention that they do also have a board president's workshop on February 8th, but it's for more than just board presidents. So it's for anybody who's interested in going and hearing about leadership and just hearing about having a better board effectiveness, I guess. And it's a great opportunity to network with other board members from other districts. So if you're interested in that, I think we just let Todd know, and then he gets us signed up. So. And I also want to let you know that I am going to be working with Todd on setting up some of his transition goals, since he got hired kind of midterm. Normally your contracts start in August, and so we're going to try and set up some goals, and then starting in July, set up the annual objectives and goals. So just to give you a heads up on that. And then I just wanted to say how proud I am of Diane and our whole staff again for the whole grant. I went to a Chamber of Commerce meeting last night, and again, people are just so complimentary of the work that we've done and how willing we are to pull everyone together, because it's going to benefit so much more than our school district. You know, I mean, it's really going to benefit our community, and it was just a great team effort. So. I'm excited about that, and again, thank you for having us out here, and thank you for the cookies, and we need to mention that, because you're setting the bar high already as we go to visit the other buildings. So thanks very much, and okay, that's it. Then we do need a motion to adjourn.
So move.
Mr. Pleasant has moved to adjournment. Do we have a second? Second by Mr. Luke. Roll call, please.
Mr. Pleasant?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. The meeting is adjourned at 8:10. Thank you.
Yeah.
Oh, stop.
I told Dick how mean you were being to me.
I was being your friend.
This whole meeting is getting here.
Oh, look at you. She wants to take one home now.
Yes. I don't know.
You may not. Oh.